Well, let's take some of these assumptions and explain and elucidate that they're not the whole story at all. They are based in a certain amount of facts, but there's a couple of points we should remember before we venture on to these lectures. Religious warfare and fanaticism was by no means the monopoly of the Western Europeans in the 11th, 12th, 13th centuries. Far from it. Members of all three of those civilizations, the Islamic, the Byzantine world, and of course Western Christendom, all agreed that there was such a thing as religious war, and it was to be waged under certain circumstances. Islam was a faith born with jihad, that is, holy war. There is an articulated ideology of holy war, the expansion of the heartland of Islam, the war against the unbelievers. This is a notion that goes right back to Muhammad. It is still a premise in Islam. It's invoked in various ways and fashions down to this day. On the other hand, the Muslims did have, especially in the era before the Crusades, a rather articulate and by the standards of the age, a tolerant treatment and policy towards the non-believers, the Christians, the Jews, Zoroastrians. They were treated as second-class citizens. They were disarmed, but nonetheless, they were not to be destroyed. They were not to be slain in some act of fanaticism. Even though there might be disgraceful acts of destroying a city, this was not policy. And so the Muslims very early had to come to terms with the fact that they ruled a majority of non-Muslim subjects. Western Europeans, on the other hand, actually had to progress to the notion of crusade and holy war. It's not in the New Testament. You had to go back and fuse Roman notions of a just war. The Romans always assure us that they never wage an unjust war. In Roman texts, certainly from the 2nd century BC, the Romans actually have a special fecial right in which they justify their wars, usually combined with the claim that their envoys had been unceremoniously murdered by the offending power. And so that tradition fed in. It was known to St. Augustine, writing in the 5th century. It could be fused with Old Testament visions of religious war, that is, the Israelites conquering Canaan and throwing down the idols. And furthermore, there was a long tradition of converting pagans, heathens, in Central and Northern Europe by the sword. Charlemagne, the great emperor of the Carolingian state, is reputed to have slain many Saxons who refused conversion on the banks of the Weser. There were forced conversions across Central and Europe and in Scandinavia. These could be easily justified with the whole martial ethos that comes out of the Celtic and Teutonic peoples of Western Europe. And so by 1095, there were a number of traditions feeding into religious warfare. Even the Byzantines themselves, the great heirs of the Roman tradition, who styled themselves as the most, you know, in a sort of sanctimonious way by Western European standards, styled themselves as the heirs of the classical tradition. They were the true Romans. Even they had notions of religious warfare. There is an incident that's often cited, that the Emperor Nicephorus Phocas in the 10th century, really irascible fellow, one of my favorite emperors, that he approached the then reigning patriarch, Polyductus, and said, give us remission of sins. That is, if you die in battle against the Muslims, imperial soldiers will go to heaven. And the patriarch answers, I can't do this because by the fact that you have blood on your hands, you've broken one of God's commandments. And this incident is often cited as an example. Well, the Byzantines really didn't have religious warfare, the way the Western Europeans or even the Muslims. And that's not true. Imperial armies, Byzantine imperial armies repeatedly went into battle under religious symbols. The most common depictions on the rock-cut churches of Cappadocia of the 10th and 11th centuries in Central Asia Minor are the saints, St. Theodore and St. George, who on a number of occasions are claimed to have fought in the ranks of imperial armies, to have given victory. And there's a number of cases where the Byzantines fought under religious symbols, and these symbols were extremely powerful. And you have to remember, all armies went into battle under religious symbols, whether they be Muslim, whether they be Christian, whether they be Greek Orthodox. There would be sermons, there would be stirring speeches, appeals to the faith, and that's extremely important. And it was accepted by all great religions of the Middle Ages that war in defense of the faith was justifiable or to expand the faith. So this is one preconception that should be removed, and I think it enables us to look at how the traditions of warfare did differ in the Islamic, Western Christian, and Byzantine worlds, and that is a subject we'll get into later on, dealing with the origins of crusading and armed pilgrimage. Well, with those images, that background, I'd like to conclude this lecture with a discussion of the three civilizations under study. One of the reasons why the era of the Crusades is so important is that it brings these three civilizations, three related civilizations, the Islamic world, Byzantium, and Western Christendom, together. That's not to say they were in complete isolation before the era of the Crusades, but the contact had been considerably more limited.